All right. So my name is Katie. I'm 34 years old. Today is the day after Christmas, 2019, and I'm speaking with Jamie Flynn, who is my mom.
Hey.
And we're recording this interview in Irvine, California. We are both from Anaheim, California. So today I wanted to ask you, Mom, just some stuff about Grandma.
Mm.
It's been, I want to say, almost 4 years since she passed away. It was about this time that she had a fall, and within a few weeks, by January, she'd passed away. And she was a very unique person. So what kind of mom was Grandma?
She was a great mom. She would make everything special. One of the best things is whenever they went on a special event, because, you know, Dad was an officer in the Army. They'd go to these special events with these really fun party favors. She'd always make sure she brought me home a party favor. And that just made me feel so special. And I tried to remember to do that when I had you guys, but I didn't go to as many fancy parties as she did.
You guys would, or you would, though. I remember some things you'd bring when you'd go on trips and stuff. And
yeah, we always did go on vacation. I don't know how they managed it, but we always managed to go somewhere cool and unusual.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing about her?
I loved making her laugh. She had a great laugh.
She was quick to laugh, too. I feel like she was always ready.
Yeah, and it was genuine. It wasn't, you know, trying to make you feel better. She was really, she just loved a good funny. And if you could make her laugh, that was where you wanted. Oh, I feel that way about you. I love making you laugh. I love making you laugh. Because you appreciate the humor. Because that's so important in our family. You know, having humor is super important in our family. But yeah, making her laugh was my favorite thing.
How do you think she, knowing where she came from with her mom, do you think she went into being a mom with an idea of doing it differently?
You know, it was really sad how I didn't realize how mean my mother's mother was. She never really talked about her as being mean. I'm sure that every generation wants to be a mom and do it different. And I understand that totally. There were things I wanted to do differently. And some things ended up just exactly the same. I just think that's normal. What about you?
Hmm.
Being a mom, you know, what's one thing you wanted to do different?
There's probably a lot of things I wanted to do different just because, but I'm just automatically in a different situation. You know, I'm older and I have a really solid partner, you know, and I know those weren't, that's not the situation you were in.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the situation Grandma Darlene was in,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, having babies today is so different. You know, there's so much more support from the spouse.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful I have a good partner, and I'm really grateful I waited to become a mom. But I do know going through the first few months, now that my son's 6 months, but the first few months, I think I had a better appreciation for, like, you giving us up to Grandma Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that I couldn't understand until, you know, being a new mom and you're very insecure and thinking, like, oh, my gosh, if I couldn't do this, of course I would give my son to somebody else who could better take care of him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the bigger things I can appreciate now that I'm a mom.
I took a little heat from that from my peer group.
Oh, I'm sure. I think somebody doing that today would take heat from that. I don't think that's going to change, you know?
But I knew that your dad's side of the family could give what I couldn't and what my mom was working. She couldn't give that.
Yeah.
And regardless of my differences with your grandmother on, you know, your dad's mom, she was a good choice, you know? She was a good choice.
She was solid. That was a very solid household to be in.
Yeah, it was.
Even with Dad being there and him going through all of his stuff, you know, at the same time, which was very not stable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Grandma and Grandpa gave us a really stable environment.
When you think of Grandma, what is something that, like, you can't help but smile and maybe chuckle?
Let's see here. I just think of her one-liners. She always had a lot of one-liners.
Yeah, she did.
Always slightly inappropriate.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was one of the last, I think it might have been the last Thanksgiving or one of the last Thanksgivings, and she was saying, or no, it was before, right before Halloween, and she said she was going to go as a cookie. She'll be something to, involving being naked and putting a in her cheeks. I won't do it justice. It's quite inappropriate, but yeah, just her one-liners. And then Adrian and I still, my husband will say things to each other like, say, you know, just because that was how she would start something. Or I says to myself, I says, like just her old-timey way of saying things. I always think of her as like Lucy, like I Love Lucy.
Yes.
Just that way they spoke and the lines and the wit and the ha-cha, like that's totally Grandma Darlene.
She was super resilient. I mean, growing up, I only ever saw her sick once.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, I found out she wasn't really, quote, quote, sick. She was hungover from a wine tasting. But I remember she was laid out on the couch, and we had to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
This was when we were living overseas. And then I remember after Dad passed away in 97, we were cleaning up his office. And we had made it into a dining room, and then we were switching some stuff. And Mom was in her 70s. And she was carrying these two platters, and she fell, landed on her front. Her arms were holding these two platters, and she was like, I didn't break them. I couldn't believe. Oh, my God, are you okay?
That's not the important part,
right?
You know,
I didn't break them.
The platters
are fine. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, yeah, she Well, that's what was so funny when people, when she was older, people were like, oh, she's just like that because she's older. She forgets a lot. And I'm like, no, she's always been kind of dingy like that.
Yeah.
Brain gaps.
Yeah.
And then how it used to drive me crazy. She'd like start saying something to you.
Because the first part of the thought was in her head.
Yeah. And you're like, what are you talking about? And I've worked, it's super hard for me not to do that.
Yeah.
But what's fun with you sometimes is like, even on the way here, I'll say something, and you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like a connectedness, our DNA.
Yeah. She, I definitely think of the resilient thing, because I asked her once, like, how she, because she was always so joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And she had lost both of her sons, you mm-hmm. know, and that just, to me, that's so sad. And I mean, mm-hmm. it is so sad. And, you know, I asked her, like, how she can just, like, be okay with all of that. And she's like, well, I'll see him again one day and it'll be fine. And then I want to say it was either the year that she passed away or the year before. She was in the hospital for something briefly. And it was the only one and only time I ever saw her cry. And Adrian was there too. So he was very awkward because he was just like, you know, didn't know what to do because she was crying about her sons. And I don't exactly remember what she was saying. I'd have to ask Adrian, but just she was so sad about it, you know, and but she was always so tough about everything, and
mm-hmm.
I remember it just being such a hard moment to, but you know, you stay and you sit with them, and even in her sadness and stuff, but yeah,
she was an instigator,
like
in a good way. When we were living overseas on the base, and the band was always being sent off to play at different venues for at beer gardens and stuff, we weren't allowed to ride in the bus with them. So she said, well, let's just follow along in the cars.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a yellow school bus full of the military band and then all of these families
yeah.
following along in a little train of cars. And that was very special. Neither of my parents were against trying anything new. That's what was so great, like when we lived overseas. They weren't shy. They would find places off the beaten path, and we would just have these very positive interchanges with these foreigners in other countries in spite of the language barrier. They never had a problem with that.
Yeah.
That's what was super great. But I look back, and growing up where they did in Michigan, in a small town at the time, neither of them wanted to stay.
Mm-mm.
They were completely on board to leave.
Well, knowing Grandma's having a better understanding of her family, I can understand 1,000% why she would leave and have no interest in going back.
And conversely, her depth of curiosity knew no bounds.
Yeah.
Everything was fascinating to her, and she'd strike up conversations with anybody. And, oh, my God, I hated it. When we were being in the grocery store, and she'd start up a conversation. I'm like, don't talk to them. It's none of your business. And then I turned into that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to be more discretionary as the older I get, you know, like respect their rights. But, she had a huge influence. And I used to think, I always favored my father if I had a favorite parent, but she was really the one that brought home to our house.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one that made it cozy for Christmas and made all the food for Thanksgiving and did everything all the time for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty phenomenal. She did do a good job in spite of her upbringing with her own mother. She did a really good job as a mom. Now, with that said, she wasn't a good listener, and she wasn't usually good for advice.
Well, I think she really wanted everybody just to be happy and everything to be okay mm-hmm. all the time. So I think she had a hard time hearing the sad stuff, and
mm-hmm.
She just wanted to make it better immediately mm-hmm. instead of just kind of sitting there in it. I remember when I just happened to be in the car with her when I broke up with my high school sweetheart over the phone, and she was, and so I'm like distraught and sobbing, and she drove us to the Dollar Tree to like to go shopping to like make me feel better. And I remember the only thing I didn't really want anything or need any, but I needed a toothbrush, but they only had a 2-for-1, and I was like, this represents my sad single life.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's definitely how she would. She didn't want to be sad. But I think she had a lot of sadness in her life, so I don't think that makes sense, you know, that she wouldn't want the sad stuff.
And Dad's family was really screwed up too. I mean, my Aunt Connie, she married one of the brothers of my dad's brothers, and she said they were the loud family. They're always like yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that really interesting. Because I was never around any of his family like I was my mom's family.
I always just figured it's because he was so much younger than everybody.
That was a huge part of it. That's why we were only around like Aunt so Dot. I think some of them were dead by the time.
Was Aunt Dot the one that was 18 when he was born? Was she
correct.
The closest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she, I think just, you know, they got close because she was there for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his mom was a lot older when he was born, 48.
Yeah.
So, and back in 26, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Golly, that's almost
that's
100 years ago.
Older,
oh, my God.
Yeah, 48 at that time then now.
Yeah. When people, when John Travolta's wife got pregnant after their other son died, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, that's impossible, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it happened.
It's just exactly how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
You're
going
to have a baby, whether you're ready for it or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was a good match for my dad. That's why they married so quick.
Yeah.
She kept him on his mental feet.
Yeah.
And he liked that. In fact, it was very scandalous. One of the first times they went to church after they got married, she left her church and joined his church. The rumor was that they had to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And because a bunch of girls apparently had their caps set for him.
Oh, gosh.
And then she got him.
Yeah.
On a blind date.
Yeah.
No less. And let's see, the 30th of December was the blind date, and the 25th of February was the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Well, when was Stacy born?
January.
Of the next year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I do remember the story, too, that they shared a bathroom. It was a Jack and Jill bathroom, and on the other side was the room that belonged to the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And he had locked both doors. So on her wedding night, the next day she wakes up, and she had started her period,
mm-hmm.
and it was everywhere, and the bathroom door was locked.
Mm.
That was one of her
first memories as a married person, yeah.
All I could think was, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What about your hopes for your son? Where are you mentally as a mom?
I definitely want him to see the world and go places and be around different kinds of people and things like that, you know? Because I didn't have that a lot necessarily when I was a kid, you know? Like, we would go on little road trips and stuff, but, you know, to the same place. Or I want him to kind of, you know, have a little more, expanded a little more. His world expanded a little bit more, I think. And stability at the same time, you know, because I don't feel like Grandma Ann and Grandpa Bill gave us a lot of stability, but it was within a very chaotic experience, you know, with having divorced parents and Dad figuring out all his own mental health stuff and you figuring out your career stuff. And so I definitely, you know, want him to have a sense of stability. You know, I want him to feel that his parents are solid, you know.
Which is why, you know, I'm hoping that you don't feel a big rush to get back into like whatever you want, work or school or whatever, you know, because you have the most important job and you have the opportunity to be of service to your family in a way that you lose a little bit when you have other commitments.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, especially with a lot of my friends going back to work right now with their kids. And I do feel very fortunate that, and it's, you know, not like we're rolling in dough or anything, but we're definitely making it work right now, you know. And it is really special. It's a very special time because he is so little. And it's nothing I want to miss, you know, especially because every day is so fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anything can happen, the possibility. And and I'm still at the point where I can't imagine leaving him with somebody else, which is such a privileged thing to say, you know, to be in a position where I don't need to. But even to, like, leave him with, you know, a grandparent, you know, I could certainly leave him with Dad or Pat, you know, and with Pat. But, you know, I'm not quite there yet, you know, and I think Adrian really appreciates that too, that I can kind of take that role. Because he also had a very unstable childhood, you know. And so that's something that we both share for sure.
That's very good.
Yeah. So.
Where do you think you're going to travel to next time you go on a trip? Just you and Adrian?
I don't know. The next time we'll travel, just the two of us. At this point, we just assume we'll take Arlo with us wherever we go.
Aw.
Yeah. But we don't know. In January, we might just do a road trip. You know.
I love that.
Yeah. Maybe go to Utah. Go to some place we haven't been before.
I've always wanted to see the monuments at Southern Utah Arches. It's all of that stuff is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking Japan, but more like the country of Japan, not just like Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to
like
see Iceland.
Countryside
in Iceland.
Would be beautiful.
Yeah, we were watching Lost in Space last night, and they filmed a lot of it there. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh my gosh, that's so epic. I want to go.
It's unbelievable, the territory.
But I'm at a point where I don't need first class, but I can't go cheap. I'm too old for that. I get up, and my body's not in agreement with the concept, so it's weird.
Do you feel as, thinking to grandma at your age, do you find any similarities or anything different?
Actually, I want to say yes, but no, because her favorite thing to do after she'd cleaned the house and gone to work all week was clean the house Saturday and watch movies on Sunday. And with the nature of my job, I need to psych up, you know? So that's kind of what I want to do on Sunday is just watch a bunch of old movies and relax.
Yeah.
Because then I got to be on when I get to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for me, I don't know what my mom went through. She didn't talk about getting older.
Yeah.
I know I went through a period where I hadn't seen her for a while, like busy with the family or whatever. And I remember seeing her and going, oh, my God, she looks really old. Like overnight, she got old looking. And I remember that kind of like scared me. And personally, in the last couple of months, I'm noticing, even though I work out, I'm still slow to get out of bed. There's certain things that are inevitable that come with aging. Mm-hmm. And one of them is I have to accept that my ability mm-hmm. isn't there. And I think that kind of came to fruition with the painting thing. I'm like, oh, I got this. Oh, my God. Yeah. Darn near killed me. And I thought I work out. It's work. Different.
Yeah.
It was super hard. And that's been kind of, that's like a loss. I felt like a loss.
Like you're grieving, like your mm-hmm. ability.
My youth.
Your youth, yeah.
Yeah, where I could just get up and go wherever. I mean, it was kind of a joke about a year ago. Somebody said, yeah, we're going to have a roller skating party. And my friend and I of the same age, nope, well, we're not going to that. Break a bone. But then it's like the fact that I don't have that option. Now it's like, before it was a choice. Now it feels like I really don't think
like
that's
really
a good idea.
Break a bone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've had to kind of process that.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody that's like talking about that because it's weird, but a lot of my friends, I was graduating high school when they were born, and some of them are your age,
that's
you know,
what's going to keep you young, you know, is you're surrounded by youth.
Well, yeah, we talked about the boomer stuff and my friend Matt asked me, are you offended by that? And I'm like, I was for a second, and then I'm like, whatever. But every generation has that group that's like, when I was your age, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
I try not to be like that.
Yeah. You don't. You not.
Yeah. But I'm like, Mom, Grandma had a lot of energy.
She was very young at heart, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
And I'm just like that. You're just like that.
A lot of energy. I think that's kind of the thing that kept her going so long. She was just, she was always planning and plotting and
curious.
There was always the next thing. And
my favorite story was at the, I want to say 34 World's Fair. She was like 10. And the guy was making Turkish coffee, but she didn't know what it was. And she asked him about it. What is that? And he had her taste some. And her friend kept saying, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. And that's just who she was.
Yeah.
And that's who I became. And that's who you are. I mean, that's like when you tease me, oh, that's just like Grandma. And then I think, there's a lot worse
it's
people
okay.
I could be. Yeah, it's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind. And I'm ditzy like Grandma. Education doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just there's this like a weak link in my brain sometimes. And, you know, it's like trying to remember names of my students. It's awful.
That's what I told Adrian with because he knows how bad I am at pulling a word out. It's just a struggle sometimes. And then after having a baby, it was like 20 times worse. And I'm like, this is just normal me amplified.
It's fatigue. It's 8 million things going on at once.
Yeah.
That's why they say, oh, the Z generation's really good at multitasking. I'm like, is any of us ever good at multitasking, really?
Multitasking, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the trying new things, though, I think that's definitely one of the best things I got from you and your side of the family is just that interest and wonder. And you're just always trying new things. Like any, like this, for Christmas, we got you the Krav Maga. You know, for a couple reasons, but usually we go in thinking, okay, what's something unusual that she hasn't tried before? Because you're usually up, except for food, you know.
Oh, I'm
you're
super
not, you're not
picky.
Big for trying new food,
but trying
new experiences, that's always something that you're up for. And I think that's why I'm so independent, and I was always comfortable trying new things because that's just something that you always did and always kind of included us in on, you know.
I have a young friend at work. I've encouraged her to do stuff, and she took me for my word. I was shocked. And she took herself on a trip to South Utah to one of the monuments and signed up for it was like a hike, bouldering, rock climbing experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she did it, and she came back. And she said, oh, my God, it was awesome. And I was like, I didn't think you'd really do it. Good for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what I told her, because that's what you do. Whenever you go somewhere alone, just take a tour.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Enjoy it. You don't have to drive and worry about looking for stuff.
Even just like, which I kind of miss right now just because I'm so engulfed in being a mom because it's so early still. But just like going to the movies by myself. I know some people, I have friends that would just never in a million years find joy in going to the movies alone. But that's like one of my probably top 20 favorite things to do, you know?
Not mine. And I'll tell you why. It's the same reason I don't go to that gym anymore that has the movie in the treadmill room.
Did you fall asleep?
No, I almost fell off the treadmill. I got so into the movie.
Well, what's going to happen
with
the movie?
I was completely unaware. Well, some creepy guy could be, like, sneaking up behind me. I'd have to be in, like, the last row of with only a few people.
Well, I'm glad I got you the Krav Maga for Christmas.
That's from Arlo, my grandson, by the way.
I thought that was timely, though, for a
Thought, yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good gift. It's the most unusual gift I've ever received, by the way. Thank you. I would have never
It'd
in a million years
guessed. It'd be
amazing
how many of the Groupon experiences involve drinking. So that, that takes out like 75% of them automatically.
That's true. No, I'm just super proud that you whatever happens with your academic career, I'm tickled that you got your degrees, second, your 2-year and your 4-year. It's just once you know what you're made of, it kind of takes your confidence to another level. And I think you can really learn what you're made of in college.
Yeah.
Because it's not about how hard the class is sometimes. It's just you didn't quit. And
yeah.
And I know, like, when I graduated with my BA, I cried a little bit.
It's just putting in the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That was hard. Oh, my God. The BA was tricky. I mean, if everybody could do it, they would, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess it could have been because it was USC. We were, at the time, third in the state for sociology.
Still a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was a trip, but I'm glad I did it. I'm glad it was over with. Clearly, it didn't matter where I went to school. In my head, it was going to matter, and doors were going to open.
Yeah.
That did not happen. That was kind of a reality check. Mm-hmm. I thought it would matter, and all it really got was prestige.
Yeah. I heard that from when I was at Cypress College and I took an astronomy class with this one teacher, and he went to MIT.
Ooh.
And every once in a while he'd stop the class just to kind of give us life lessons, and he was just like, you know, it really doesn't matter because, you know, my brother, he has a wife, he has children, he has a house he owns. He went to Cal State Fullerton, and he's more successful than I am, and I went to MIT, and you know, like he had this perspective as he's like teaching at the community college. But yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, really.
It doesn't.
I mean, it depends, I guess, if you're, you know, if it does matter to the world that you're going to be in, you know, career-wise, I guess. But I think most of the time it doesn't. But I'm glad I finally got my degree. That took a long time.
Yeah, I'm super proud that you did that because I know what it takes.
Yeah.
I know what it takes.
And I miss it. This is the first semester in like 5 years that I haven't had anything. Especially with not working, it's just like
you don't need to go buy new pencils and a new notebook. And I used to love that.
Yeah, that
even
was always
as a teacher.
That's
my favorite.
The beginning of going back to school.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I always loved it too.
Ugh,
and then
so
Grandma
fun.
Ann would always take us to Mervyn's to get a new wardrobe.
Oh yeah.
Get new clothes, and I always loved that. And
I always got clothes that were too hot for day one.
Oh, yeah, always.
Because you always forget.
Especially because they didn't have air conditioning like they do now.
They did not.
I remember my first day of seventh grade at ball. I wore a polyester. It was such a cute outfit. And it was like polyester skort with like a polyester shirt. And I was so excited. And we did not have air conditioning. And I was just like sweating buckets and miserable by seventh period for sure. But I looked cute.
Yeah. I had a good time at ball. I had a good time at La Guerra. And it was great at La Guerra, too, because I didn't get teased. I was teased a lot for being overweight. Nobody cared.
People get over a lot of that by high school.
Yeah, and it was after that first semester, I lost a bunch of weight. And then I became good friends with Aunt Melissa. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I miss her. But, you know, it changes. Relationships change, and I'm just glad I had her for when I had her.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's just how it is. I mean, she sent me a bunch of pictures that brought back a lot of memories, so that was kind of special.
Yeah.
So, and I remember her mom, when I got pregnant with Jim, she was crying. She was so happy. So that, you know, that was special.
Yeah.
That was really special. And I remember all the things we did. We used to work at giving out maps at the Renaissance Fair so we could get in for free.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Winkler came through my line. That was exciting. And it was funny, you know, it's like I've crossed paths with that actor more than once. I've been on the same airplane as him.
Mm-hmm.
I flew to Miami one time, and I saw him at baggage, and then I saw him in the waiting area. I was like, oh, son of a gun. He's not taking one of those fancy private jets. But yeah, I've always been really curious, trying to figure out how things worked. And that's like why I have always had a very hard time keeping a job. I got really bored. I stayed with Disneyland for a long time because that was very interesting. But
I think it's because you're a people person, you know, and that was probably the most people involved.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was a lot of fun. I was in the office. When I worked in the office, I sat next to the central radio for the entertainment department. And I would see guys go into the bathroom, and I'd ask them what their 20 was. What's your location? What's your 20? And you could hear the echo. I'll be there in a minute. And you could tell they were in the bathroom. That was always fun. I had a good time at that job. And I was very sad when it didn't work out. And that's when Grandpa Ken said, oh, hey, look at this cool class. This would be a good class. It was television broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of cool. One of the pieces, this camera guy and I, we became friends. One of our pieces got elected for the best of the semester. And that was kind of special. We did the AIDS walk. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. But my only regret is I've always let fear help me make decisions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my choices are based on fear, mm-hmm. of the unknown, usually. Because years ago, I was going to work in Hollywood, blah, 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 and I don't know.
Is it like fear of failure?
No. Well, fear of the unknown, mainly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know.
Like no guaranteed success.
I was going to leave my family, and that never worked out. I could never leave my family. I loved my parents so much. But I don't regret never leaving because of that.
Yeah.
I just see a lot of decisions in my life I've made were based on fear. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't regret it because everything happened exactly the way it needed to happen so I can be where I'm at in my life today, and it's a lot better place. I feel very secure in all areas,
mm-hmm.
and I'm grateful for that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. What about you? Any regrets?
I don't really have too many regrets, but after having Arlo, I have not a regret, but it was something that was unexpected, is though I'm really happy I waited as long as I did to have kids, to be in the right, you know, relationship and age and all that stuff. For some reason I was really sad because I wasn't younger when I had him, because that's 10 years, let's say, that I won't have with him. You know, it's 10 fewer years that I could have had with him.
That is very sad to look at it like that.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been him. You know, I
That's
wasn't
correct.
Present with Adrian, and it wouldn't have been the same situation. I wasn't the same person. I wouldn't have been the same mother, you know? So that kind of is something I thought of.
That was probably one of the most astonishing things in my life, is that you were going to have a baby. I was so excited. Because I never got hopes up that you would. I never wanted it to be, it's your choice.
Yeah.
I wanted to be okay with whatever your choice was. But
yeah.
In my heart of hearts, it was like, oh, that'd be really special if she had kids. And that would be fun. And it
yeah.
kind of breathe new life into this old, you know, boomer. And
yeah,
I was right.
Yeah.
He was awesome. He's brought a lot to the table.
Yeah.
But I have to remember, too, that's your life.
Yeah.
I can't base my life. Like, I can't sit at home waiting.
Yeah.
Like, when can I see Arlo? I have to pay attention to what I need to do for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose sight of that.
Yeah. No, I really needed a lot of space.
I know
when
that.
When I became a mom, I needed a lot of space. For like
I
a
get
month,
it.
I didn't want anybody's weird mom vibes, you know, yours or other anybody else. I just didn't want any, I just needed to kind of reel from the experience, you know, of
mm-hmm.
giving birth and like
mm-hmm.
of being a mom. And like 6 months out, I'm like, the giving birth part is basically a blip. And
mm-hmm.
it's the becoming a mom thing that is like mind-blowing. Like it's so
mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody says it's life-changing, and it is, but I think before being a mom I always had the birth part on a pedestal, because it is such a it is a profound experience. It totally is. But the becoming a mom, the in the everyday doing, in the every moment of every single day, of every night, you know, of it is, wow, that's it. I feel different because of it, and definitely in a good way. I feel much stronger, you know, because you go through moments where you really don't think you can make it, but mm-hmm. you do, because you have this perfect little, you know, person relying on you. So.
Well, I'm glad you were able to have the experience. You know, there's so many people that wanted it, couldn't have it.
Yeah. And I was, that one of the reasons we tried now, too, is just because I am getting older. Though with our family history, I was kind of banking on being able to
produce
later. Wait as long as
I. Because yeah. What? Grandma had me at 36, and
I think
Grandpa
Grandma
was
Ann
born.
Was 36.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Grandpa,
yeah.
His mom was 48, yeah.
Yeah. And then all my cousins have, you know, been successful in, through their 40s. So, yeah.
I'm super happy for you. You're a good mom. You've got a great relationship. None of these things you learned from me. So that's.
It takes a village.
Well, I do appreciate your forgiveness on how the kind of mom I was, and I still strive to be better. Because I know I fell short so many ways, and I was lost in self-centeredness and career and all of it, and I wished I would have understood earlier that none of that matters. I mean, in a sense, it does. I mean, no one's going to pay my bills when I get old.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be counting on anybody. But I always put so many other things that I lost sight of you and your brother so many times. And I live with that choice every day.
Yeah.
It's
And it was hard, and I still work through it. Through the forgiveness, you know, especially with becoming a mom, a lot of things are much easier to forgive. You know, overall, I think I forgive you more because of it, because I have a better understanding of what, you know, what I couldn't have understood before of just being a mom. But I do think it's something that I actively work on, because I still have my moments. And it's not that there's anything in particular I'm thinking of that I'm upset about. It's just the overall pain, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And which just makes me feel, like, mean, you know? Or, you know how it comes out, like, in a childish way.
Yeah.
When you don't want it to.
Yeah.
And it's still something I actively work towards to, you know, like how you're saying you're working to be better and, you know, I'm working to be better in that way, too.
You've come a long way. You're a lot better. Yeah. I've ignored a lot of it. So I was like, well, it'll change. And it has changed. And
I think it was harder when I was having a harder time in life.
Yeah.
You know, because it felt like I would have had an easier time if my parents had had it together a little more, you know. And so now that I've made it past kind of that obviously makes it easier. You know, I'm just in a better place.
You're more forgiving.
Yeah.
But then conversely, you know, you're the reason I became a better daughter to my own mother. You know, you really were, I watched you with her and you were so patient and you appreciated her quirks where I would like find them annoying. And that helped me a lot. Because there was no good reason. I mean, Mom did the best she could. And In the scheme of things, she was a lot better mom than a lot of people ever had. Mm-hmm. You know, she would make cookies and make things special for you, like when you were sick. And she was just really special like that, made everything really special. And I just didn't see that when I was an adult. And I used to be mad at her for staying with Dad.
Yeah.
You know, because of all of his drinking. And then he finally got sober. And I'm glad that they stayed together because they were a good match.
Yeah.
That was their only issue there. But, yeah, you know, I do appreciate that you did that. I thank you for that, helping me be a better daughter to my own mom, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you ever have a crappy day, remember that. There's good things come out of the challenges.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah, I miss my family. It's tough being the only one left.
Yeah.
It used to be scary, but now it's not. It's how it is. But I think, I don't know if I can be to you the wise parts of my parents as they were for me, you know. But I do know when things get tough, you do turn to me. And that I appreciate that. Because I have learned a couple things. Once I got my head out of my butt, I did learn a couple things. And if I can help in any way like that, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I will tell you, the hardest time for me was when I walked in that room and you were within an hour of giving birth. And I knew it was tough. And there was nothing I could do to fix it. That was super hard. And I was so glad Adrian was there because I don't think I could have stayed another minute. When I walked in and I saw where you were at in the process, I was just like, okay, good. Okay, nope. I've never felt so helpless around one of you guys. It was awful. I know you had a tough delivery. You were in labor for almost 2 days, for crying out loud. I'm surprised they let you go that long.
Yeah.
So, whew. Yeah, that's the thing. When your kids go through stuff, you feel it. Like it's happening to you. So when that ended with your high school sweetheart, you might as well have stabbed me because I felt that for you. And that's the part that you don't see coming. Oh, they'll learn their lessons, but you take on those emotions because you want to be able to suck them up into your skin and absorb them so they don't have to go through them. But then you can't do that because they have to go through them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't deny somebody the opportunity to learn. I'm just glad my kids are talking to me. I have people in my life that I know. My one friend, her family won't let her see the grandbaby.
Yeah.
Because of all the dysfunction they grew up with.
Yeah.
So I am grateful that I have you and my son and your husband and the grandbaby. That's my family.
Yeah.
That's
family.
It.
Yeah.
And that's okay with me. I thought, I should reach out. And you know what? My cousins, they got their things too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if this is all I have, that's okay.
Yeah.
I can live with that. What about you? How are things going for you?
I feel pretty good, you know, now that I'm out of that first haze of newborndom. I feel a lot more confident just as a person. Just, man, I was meant to be a mom. I was so meant to be a mom.
You say that now, but when you broke down, what was he, like 2 weeks? You're like, it's so hard.
And it is really hard. But it, I was no definitely doubt. Meant to be a mom. Like, I feel like,
I know that, though.
And I always knew that, but now that I'm here, it's like, man.
I told you.
This feels right, you know, this is. Yeah, and now that I, you know, he's sleeping a little longer at night, and I can kind of be out and go be a person again, you know? Because I love my independence, and I love being a person, and I love, you know, going and doing the things I like to do, and I love that I get to do that. I get to be out in the world, but I'm also Arlo's mom, you know, and that's part of who I am now, and I love that. I love that.
I love being Katie's mom and Arlo's grandma. That's what I love.
Yeah.
I'm glad I get to be a part of all of that.
So, good talk.
Love you like a rock.
Makes me miss Grandma.
Me too. Thank
you.
Wish
you were here for Arlo.
Thanks for the good cry.
Right. But yeah. All right. Good talk, Mom.